Last week, we were reminded of the life of the newborn church and of the characteristics of those empowered by the Holy Spirit. I think today's text is just another snapshot of lives empowered by the Holy Spirit. Those lives sharing the good news of Jesus with neighbors who desperately need Him. And I mean that, like we see in our text. Let's not just go past this guy and go, yeah, you know, he could use Jesus. No, he desperately needed Jesus. From birth, this man could not walk. And even today, with the sciences we have, I don't know if you've watched, I've got some friends who are wheelchair bound. They have these new sciences that are making folks like cyborgs. You know, they're trying to bring machine and electronics and computers together to help people walk, but it's still not them walking. The machine is walking with them. With the most advances we have, we cannot make a lame person walk. But Jesus can. And Jesus has. And I believe Jesus will. I believe that with all my heart. We see it in the text here today. This man, I wish we knew his name. I'm going to keep calling him the man. Because I don't want to call him the lame man, because he's not the lame man anymore. The once lame man. But he desperately needed Jesus. Even though in that moment, he thought his need was something quite different. I want you to hang on to that today as we explore the text. Because I think we'll see ourselves in it as well. I believe that we will also see a continuation of what we read last week in Acts 2, the fellowship of the believers, awe coming upon people, signs and wonders done through the apostles, attending the temple together. You remember those words? We're seeing that just play out. And I believe Luke gives us a beautiful picture of that and a purposeful picture of that so that we see in this text the ongoing life and rhythm of the church, but also we see what we're going to see after this, a healing that brings a sermon that brings a complete change in the life of this church. Persecution's about to come, and things will change dramatically. But today, we have 10 verses that are sufficient enough for us. So let's start in verse 1 and verse 2. It says, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. Now, that is an important thing to remember as we just talked about the continuation of Acts 2. They're going up for the second part of temple worship for the day, the second prayers before the end of day. So they're going up in the late afternoon doing what they do, as with other people. So as you pull up here on Sunday mornings, you see people walking into this building. There was much more than that, but here people walking up. And outside of that would be people asking for help. Why? Because they know people are coming in that would be inclined to help them. Now, I don't know how much, I know where a lot of you live, but I don't know how much you interact in cities or around here, but there's not many weeks that go by that I don't walk out of the office here and someone asks me for help. There's not a lot of Sundays that goes by that somebody's not asking for help. Why? Because people expect the people of God to help them. And we can break that down in our culture, like, man, people are doing this for a living. People are doing this because they're too lazy to work. Well, I get all that. But I'm just telling you, this is the idea of what's happening here. And we're going to break that down a little bit as we go. But as they're walking, they're going up to the inner parts to worship, to pray. And a man lame from birth was being carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple that is called the Beautiful Gate, to ask alms of those entering the temple. I don't know the scene. I can't paint it for you with all the people and what's going on, but they're at a gate that is recognized as the Beautiful Gate. So it's a beautiful building, a beautiful gold, all of the things like we would see as treasure, and now this Beautiful Gate is adorned even more beautiful. And this is where they bring this man. I don't know who they are, but he has some friends. He has some friends who are carrying him to this place to receive help. It says they were carrying him, and they were carrying this man who was lame from birth. So I don't know what his legs look like, but I do know of people that I know who were once walking and then lost their ability to walk, and I see the atrophy in their legs, and there's a change there. Not walking from birth, this man wouldn't have strong legs because those muscles would not have been used. And I'm sure his friends, He didn't have Uber or cab drivers back then. A lot of you have no idea what an Uber is, but so they didn't call for a car to bring him up to the place. His friends had to carry him. We're going to look at that in a moment. Important to note. So they get there, and here's what happens. He sees Peter and John about to go into the temple, and he asks to receive alms. That's it. That's all the Luke gives us there. He sees him go in the temple, and he asks for help. So I want to bullet point a few things with you, and I want to say, I think it's important for us to see that, one, he doesn't realize his ultimate need. We're going to get to that. But it's important for us to know the parallels that I want to share with you, these bullet points, because I think they parallel with people today, and it's easy for me to say that, but it parallels with us today. So this isn't going to be a sermon on, let's go help those who are begging in the streets. If you want to do that, I'll take you to Chicago and put all the money you got in your pocket. It'll be gone in about 10 minutes, because that is everywhere. And in some places in Chicago, street workers, not street workers in that way, don't go there, but like guitar players, you know, they have a permit. Even the city's getting in on taxing the beggars in the city. And it's something that we will always have with us, and I believe it's something our heart must be attentive to. But my point today isn't one of social justice. It's one of a big gospel picture. So let's parallel from that lens. This man was lame from birth. Right, his body, as I mentioned, would be in need of healing, in need of restoration. And I would propose to you today that his soul was at need from birth. His soul was at need from birth. He, as we just prayed for little Jonah back there, let's pray for salvation. I do that with parents. I pray for their children. I hope that for them. I want that for them, as we do here, because that is the ultimate need that every one of us have. We need a Savior. And I'm thinking, whoa, why is that? A lot of you know that we sin. And we do things that are apart from the will of God. The Bible tells us every one of us does that. And that is part of the bad news. The other part of the bad news is that because we sin, we have earned death. And don't let that ever fall on your ears as death, like, oh, Kevin's at the part where he's sharing the gospel. But hear the truth of that for yourself and for the neighbors around you. Is that we need life. We need to be born again. We need new life. We need rescue. We need salvation. And this man was no different. But I think it's important for us, as we're paralleling real quick, to see us in our context today. I see a lot of people in a lot of physical need, and I think it's important for us to tend to those physical needs. That's why we do food packs. That's why we help people just coming in with people with traveling issues. Like, we give them food that they can eat in the street or in the bus stop, wherever it may go. We care for people. We have medical clinics, one coming up, quick advertisement, June 4th. You can pencil that in. We'll be giving you more details later. We do those things because we care, because we love, and we feel we are called to be a part of those things. But sadly, I've lived long enough, and I've been in the church long enough, and ministry long enough, I've seen cycles happen, right? Like, I remember back, a lot of you don't, but a big thing that the church was a part of were film strip series and in-home Bible studies. Does anybody remember stuff like that? Like, we would take film strips. Like, for some of you are like, what is a film strip? It's kind of like a DVD, or, you know, but it's like old. But it would show pictures. And we would go to people's homes. We would do these things called Bible correspondence courses that would go with them. And they would do a Bible study in their home. Man, back then, that was the bomb. That was like cutting edge. Now people would look at us and think we're nuts. I don't think we're nuts for doing that anymore. I think it'd be nuts if I showed up with an old film strip thing. Well, hipsters in the city would think it's really cool because it's vintage and it's cool. Is that an artisanal thing? Anyway, but all that to say, I've seen now a huge leaning towards and maybe even a jumping in the pond of just caring for social needs in the church. And a lot of churches are pouring headlong into that, and that's awesome, and it's good, But if that is all you are caring and tending to, you're missing the point. I could go and give all my money to the poor, but if I have not love, I am nothing. What that means is if I'm not loving their soul, if I'm not caring for them and caring for their ultimate need, I have a problem. They have a problem. We have a problem. And I want to maybe pull back the curtain on that a little bit. So as we're paralleling, see his ultimate need. He was lame here, dead here, and needed rescue, not just his legs. He went to the place where he could find help. He went to the place where he could find help. Now again, don't just brush this off as like, well, he knows people are going to have money there because they're going to go give money and they're going to have some extra and they were called to do that. And it's part, yes, I get all that. But people who need help go to the place where they need help. And there's a lot of times where they're not going to be able to articulate their need. I was a messed up young man, and I started to go to church because I wanted to play softball. And so I went and bought some polyester pants at Kmart because my church dressed up, and you know, we're doing the thing, and I went because I wanted to play, but something was catching my heart, and God was doing a work in my life, and I needed salvation, and I needed this community, and I needed what God was bringing through his word. But if you ask me, Kevin, what do you need? I would have told you an IROC Camaro. I would have. Man, that's going to solve my problems right there. Right? My Cavalier is a little slow, but man, that IROC Camaro is bad. I want that, right? I wouldn't have known what I wanted. But I knew I needed help, and I was going to the place that was tending to my ultimate need. Maybe that's why, if you're visiting, you're here today for the first time. I hope that's why you're here, if this is your 1,000th time, because I'm here because of that. I need you. I need to be together. I need the Lord. But sometimes we can't articulate that, and you know what happens? We're not aware of that, so we go to other things to help us fill those needs. Maybe it's a bag of potato chips, right? Maybe it's a can of beer. Maybe it's a pack of smokes. Maybe it's television. Maybe it's whatever. Maybe it's your IROC Z. If somebody has one in here, good on you. But it isn't going to solve your problems. You see, we need to go and be where we can find help. This is what he was doing. And he had friends that were helping him do that. He was carried there by other people. Friends, we need to be carried sometimes. And that goes both ways. We need to be carried, and then someone needs to carry us. Let people serve you. Let people into your life. Let people take you some places you might not want to go. But be carried. Now, I'm saying that as Christian friends. Don't let people take you where you don't want to go if it's to the other way. But then, in the flip side of that, we have friends who need us to carry them. And I'm telling you, it gets very heavy. It gets very weighty. I was talking with a sister from our congregation here about helping another person from our congregation and who's now been around and needs a lot of help, and just reminding each other that we will work for that person more than that person will work for himself. That's just part of it. People, this man traveled from point A to point B. He didn't do any of the work. His friends did the heavy lifting for him. His friends did all the work. And you can push back from that. Man, I'm busy. You know, I got too much going on. My business is thriving, or my business is suffering, or I've got a full list of television shows I must watch, or whatever it may be. But there are people that need you to carry weight in their life. Doesn't mean you're going to carry them down the street. It might mean telephone calls, visits, prayer, encouragement, and yes, even rebuke. Will you carry the load and carry your neighbors to their place of help? And we know the ultimate help is found in Hebrews 4:16, the throne of God, the throne of mercy, the throne of grace that we can go to because of Jesus in our time of need. Now, as I've parallel this, I want to throw a third parallel here real quick, right? We talked about the man's need. We talked about he knows where he can go to find help, and then we know he was carried by others. That's just found in these first two verses. Jesus has done all of that for us. I want you to see that. He was lame from birth, and he was in need of salvation. Jesus knows that. Jesus showed up because of that. For his need, for your need, for my need, for our neighbor's needs. He went to the place where he could find help. Right? Jesus is the place where we find our help. Jesus is our help. And he has made his place among us. And then he was carried there by others. Jesus has not only cared for your physical need, he carried your sin upon his shoulders and bore your sins and my sins on the cross. Verses 3 through 5, the word expecting comes to my mind when I read those. Let's read verse 3 again. It says, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked to receive alms, and Peter directed his gaze at him, as did John, and said, look at us. And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. Expecting to receive something from them. The lame man asked Peter and John for help. That's what people in need do. But not always in this way, but when it's desperate, people will ask for help. People ask me for help, they ask you for help. What are you going to do with that? Well, the text doesn't let us know if the man knew who Peter and John were. Like, hey, these are the guys doing signs and wonders and preaching over here and doing that. I'm not sure. But when he saw them, he asked for money. He was asking for alms. He was asking for cash. I need to live. Right? There's a reality there. There is a real need there. And I've heard sermons preached, and I'm going to tell you, I don't agree with them. Even as a young man, I preached those same words, and I've learned otherwise, that if the church would just simply tithe, there'd be no need for Social Security and welfare. Man, you do the math on that. That's just not true. And it doesn't mean the poor are going to go away, because it's the state of the fallen world that we live in. The church was not called to be the Social Security system for our culture. What the church has been called to do are be the passionate people who will die for the sake of preaching the gospel to people who desperately need him. I'm not called to set up a food bank here. What I'm called to do as a pastor is to preach this gospel to you, to help equip you, encourage you, as we all go and share this good news with the people around us. That is the call of the church. And I do believe it's we've slipped back over into this idea of just social issues only, because I'm telling you, it's so much easier. And it feels so much better. And we get our own self patted and stroked on the back when I give somebody a $5 bill and they say, oh, God bless you, thank you, than it is to tell somebody, man, you're dead in your sin, and the way your life is going is going to take you to hell. I don't get a lot of, oh, well, thank you. I get like, what? It's so much easier to do one over the other. So if we say, hey, and I, this is awesome, but hear me, we do both. We do both because it's the need that we all have. But don't be fooled into thinking one replaces the other. And I think we see this about to happen. He asked for money. And Peter and John, hearing this, in verse 4, it says, Peter directed his gaze at him, as did John, and said, look at us. Now, why is that important? I think it just shows the humanity going on here. Most people who ask for help, where I say ask for help, they meet me outside, or they bang on the door here, or they know me from the stuff that we do, and I walk down the street, or I'm getting in my car, or if I'm in Chicago, there's signs. You've seen it. You've all been a part of that. I need help. And I never had somebody look me directly in the eyes and say, I need 20. Hey man, you got any food? Can I get some food? Humility, embarrassment, and need. And let's not live as people as if we don't have need. But let's lift the chin up and say, look at me. He's not doing a school teacher thing. Look up here. Look at me. It's like, look at us. And they're looking eye to eye, human to human. And there's relationship there. And there's some dignity there. I don't think I'm reading too much into the text to say this because of what the text tells us. But Peter looks down because in the busyness, they're walking in, they're going to do their thing. I'm sure there's conversation going on. And it's the same old thing. Guy gets dropped off. Hey, can you help me? And I don't know why he's not looking. I can suppose some humility, some embarrassment. But also, I know if I'm in that position and there's people going, I'm hustling. Can you help me? Can you help me? Can you help me? I'm trying to get it all worked out because that crowd's going to be gone soon. So they say, look at us. Look at us. And it says he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. Yesterday, I'm going to confess a bit of my own hard-heartedness to you today. My son Stephen is a high jumper in his university, and Davina and I drove, as we do as much as we can if he's someplace at a university close, to watch him high jump. So this happened to be in Chicago on the north side, so we went. And we drove back into the city to have dinner on our way home. And pulled up to a place that we know, well, this exit, and there stands a person with a sign. And I was just, I'm tired, I'm hungry. I can't tell you how often that happens and the battle that goes on in my head, like what do I do, what do I do? I think I've told you, like don't do I only carry plastic, because I was in Austin, Texas, and I told the dude that. He's like, that's okay, I've got a square. And he's gonna swipe it, right? So that doesn't work anymore. But it doesn't matter about work. I'm telling you about my hardness of my heart. And I told Davina, like, why are you walking in front of my car? Like, we're stopped. I know this. I know you're there. And I was like, I'm just so tired. And finally, just this, like, this text comes upon me. I see her eyes. I thought it was a dude. It was a woman. Not that one's better than the other, but I just saw. So I rolled down my window, and she wouldn't look. She said thank you, and the light changes, and I have no idea where she's at. Did that solve her problem? No, it solved her problem for that moment. Some of you are like, oh, she's going to go buy cigarettes. Well, that was her need right then. She needs a beer. Well, I hope she doesn't buy that, but I hope she went and bought some food. But we have need. The Bible tells us, I'm not going to fix that problem, but I may have entertained an angel. And I just was haunted by her face as I was preparing this morning, thinking through preaching this to you. So we have to look people in the eye. We have to see real people. And this is what happens in this moment. John and Peter were both present and attentive. And with this, I would tell you that they're about to do something in this moment that they realized, that I pray that we realize when we leave here. I think we can all get what I'm saying so far, right? Yeah, like we all have need. People are human. Let's realize that we're all the same. We're all equal. We may be in different positions of life, and we want to help. But check this out, I pray that the Lord opens our spiritual awareness as we leave here to have the eyes and the ears as Peter and John did, because you have the same Holy Spirit, the exact same Holy Spirit that was moving in them and the power that they have. You have. I have. We have. That's huge. Don't walk out of here with your head down. You have been sent on a mission and empowered to preach the gospel that shakes the gates of hell. You have that power. We have that power. And here's what that looks like when it's in action. This expectation, this expecting moment happens. And in verse 6, Peter said, I have no silver and gold, but what I do have, I give to you. I've never said that to somebody because I don't want to get stabbed. Like you have some gold, what? Like, but I have told people, I don't have anything. But I'm just telling you where I'm at. Now, you may want to fire me after today, but I would say I think we're all on the same page here. Person asks for help. Sorry, I don't have anything. I'm still in my conversation as I walk on, or I drive off. Anybody ever been there? Am I the only one? What would it look like if I said, I don't have any money, but what I do have, I'm going to give you? Well, 9 times out of 10, the guy's going to walk away from you, maybe, maybe not. This guy couldn't. He's sitting there, but it doesn't mean he refused. But let's take this away from the person asking for money from you. But the person that's in your office, the person that's in your home, the person that maybe you have a friendship or relationship with, maybe, I don't know, whatever it may be, and you have these ongoing conversations, and they're asking for help from you in ways that you can't help them, and you know you can't, what do you do? Let's look at it with that filter now. Silver and gold I don't have, but what I do have I give to you, and here it is. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. This is what a person that is aware of the Holy Spirit in his life knows what he has. Peter, filled with the Spirit and the knowledge of God, is aware of 3 important things that I want us to hang on to today. One, he is aware of what he doesn't have. Peter is aware that he has no money. And it doesn't mean that he was just broke. It just means he didn't have it with him. Now, we can look back. We can go back to they're giving their money to people, right? They're selling their possessions and giving to all who have need. So this isn't like Peter's a cheapskate. But this isn't what the man needed, and Peter understood his limitations. We too must understand our limitations. Some of you are killing yourselves trying to fix people that you love that there's no way you can fix them. Anybody been there? It just kills you. I've tried to fix my family members. I have tried to fix coworkers. I've tried to fix friends. Shoot, I've tried to fix some of you in this room on my own strength at times. Like, what can I say to them that's going to help them? What's the magic word? How many emails do I send out? Like, what would it be? But no, it's not my power. It's not your power. Silver or gold, I don't have. But what I do have, I give you. He is aware, second point, of the lame beggar's need. It's healing, but it's much more. He sees the both and. It's important for us to see that today. Third, he is aware of the power in the name of Jesus. And I think, church, we forget that. Well, I don't preach it enough. It's me trying to fix you again, like it's my fault. But it's this idea of a power that is so great that we tend to forget, or the enemy keeps our eyes blinded to it. Peter looks at him, sees his need, understands his limitations, and he gives him what he has. The power of the name of Jesus. You have that power. You can call upon the name of the Lord, and you can point others to the same. This is what we have to offer. He knew what he needed, and he knew who could provide it. See, let me ask this question. Do you understand your limitations? And at times when we get caught up in trying to do things in our own power, just take a moment, and this is the idea of repentance, just turn away from that and really press in to the power and the provision that Jesus provides. The idea of feeding people around here, I say this and I mean this, and I think a lot of you understand this now. I don't know that we could feed the whole city of Michigan City, but if we took box truck after box truck to Children's Hunger Fund in Chicago, they're going to keep loading us up, and we can just keep handing out food and food and food and food and food. But do we really believe that's the need for our city? Yes, it's a need of our city. It is. But here's the ultimate need: Jesus. And we must be people who speak with our tongues and speak with our hands, right? It's word and deed. Watch what happens. Verses 7 and 8. He took the man by the right hand and raised him up. And Luke doesn't get into all the emotional details. If John was writing this, you'd probably hear a lot more. But it just seems very, he's a doctor. So it's like, he picked him up and I performed this, this, and this on him, right? But what was that guy saying? Like, whoa, look at my legs. Like, I just need some money. And I mean, really, think about that guy sitting there and him saying to him, I don't have what you want, but here's what I have. I'm going to pick you up. Like, whoa, stop. Is he going to move me someplace else? But it says, as he does it, check this out. Immediately, his feet and ankles were made strong. So as soon as this is going on, God gave him strength to stand. He gave him strength to stand up. And I think when we start to tell people about who he is, and we are lifting hands out, and we're helping people up, and we're telling them about the power of the cross and the power of the empty tomb, you're going to see strength come into legs. You're going to see strength come into ankles. You're going to see life reborn into dead hearts, and people are going to stand. I know, because that's our story. I was dead, and I was standing, and I stand here today. But I don't just stand, you just don't stand, and neither did he. And leaping up, he stood and began to walk. I'm too old and fat to do that, but it wasn't just like, if I lay down, it's going to take me a minute. You're going to hear things popping, hear me breathing heavy. This is like, boom, and he's up, right? He's up. Power, strength. We're talking about legs that have never walked, ever. From birth, never used. There's no electronics, no computer, no cyborg, nothing. It's the power of the name of Jesus. And he stood up, and it's not just what he does, he leaps up, and he began to walk. I mean, he's just like, okay, this is cool. I mean, he's probably walking everywhere. Look. We are so cynical today, and we miss it. You guys know some of the homeless friends of ours that come in and out of here. And if one pulls up tomorrow or next Sunday for baptisms in a Bentley, in a tuxedo, and comes and says, I want to write the church a check for $100,000, we would be like, whoa, drug dealer, what's going on? What? It would be that kind of like, what happened here? What's going on? This man was lame from birth. And now he could walk. That's going to cause some commotion. It's going to cause some conversation, and it does. It says, he entered the temple with them. He could never do that before. Do you know that? He could never walk in there with them before. And now he can. This is a parallel for us to see today. The place where the glory of God dwells, this man could never enter in for prayer. Now he can. A few coins wasn't going to do that. You see? Do you see? Like, he's not like, okay, this is awesome. Do you have some money? Like, he didn't run around with his cup like, hey, now I'm mobile. Do you have money? Can you help me out? His need was taken care of. Now he's with his new community. Now we can look back at Acts 2 and say, this is the guy who is added to their number. This is the guy who they're selling their stuff for. This is the guy who they're meeting from house to house with. He's one of them. But it goes on. It says he walked in the temple with them, walking, and say it out loud with me, leaping and praising God. His leaping is praising. His standing there is giving testimony to God. Peter and John didn't run back to Facebook and take a video of it. They didn't tweet it. It wasn't on a billboard out front. Hey, new life happens here. Check him out. They didn't have this guy give a personal video all over the place. What I'm saying is, they didn't use this man to grow an organization. They didn't claim their own power in their church. No, what they did was praised God. It says, all the people saw him walking and praising God and recognized him as the one who sat at the beautiful gate of the temple asking for alms. That's the dude we just walked by. That's why we walk back all the time. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what happened to him. The lame walk, the weaker made strong, and mourning is turned to dancing. We see that all here in this text. This was and it is the work of Jesus. Come back next week. We're going to talk about the rest of chapter 3. Because Peter's about to get up and preach again. And you have a group of people saying, what just happened? What an amazing time to say, let me tell you. But he says, don't look at us. I'm getting into next week already. But don't look at us as if we've done this. This is the work of Christ. All the people, it says, all the people saw him, had wonder and amazement. Ongoing experience. I could give you example after example and name after name of the amazing work of God that has happened in here in this congregation. I can tell you their names. You can tell the names. But we, like Peter, must give God glory. We must give God credit while pointing all the people to their need for the same Savior. This is not the work of an organization of human capacity. It is not. We can feed people. I can give you my shirt right now, but I can't make you walk. It's a both and. It's a both and. And this is all from God. When we forget this, we tend to boast in our own programs, our successes, etc. But hear me again. Let this just be restful for your soul. Healing is found in the name of Jesus. Why should that be restful for your soul? Maybe you need healing today. But it's also, you could be trying to make legs that can't walk, walk. You might be trying to pick your friend up and they can't stand yet. You see, it's Jesus who does this work. And you have the power of the Holy Spirit, not to go make him walk, but what did Peter do? What did John do? They called on the name of Jesus. Brothers and sisters, we do that in prayer. We do that in gospel proclamation. We do that in our presence. We do that in looking into someone's human eyes. We do this on the mission of God. Salvation is found in the name of Jesus. You're going to hear them preaching this in Acts 4, verse 12. And there is salvation in no one else. For there is in no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. And I pray, I don't think that's going to happen here. I think we're aware of that enough, and God forbid it, that people would say, Christ Church saved my life. And I've heard that kind of talk in churches. I've been a part of that kind of stuff. And it's good marketing tools. It's good for all that kind of stuff if you want to grow an organization. But let me tell you, I never changed your life. You never changed each other's life. Jesus changed your life. You might have been a source of great encouragement to each other and to me, and I to you. We may carry each other's mats to take you to Jesus, but it's Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And that is good news, because Jesus does not get tired when we get tired. He does not get grouchy when we get grouchy. He does not grow faint when we grow faint. Jesus is always on, and Jesus is always here, and Jesus is always loving. And this is where we run to. So let me close by asking the question, do you know your need today? You may be asking God for a specific relief. If you would just fix this, God, this would be right. Let me tell you, he knows that need, because we see that constantly in the scriptures and we hear him say, I know everything. But he also has so much more for you. What do you mean by that? Like, I'm asking for something pretty serious. He has more for you. Trust him. Maybe you realize your need for salvation, your true need today. What do? Call in the name of the Lord Jesus. There is no other way or no other name No other program, no other thing that you're looking for that can save you. No program, book, person, mantra, or any amount of money can save you. But Jesus died and was raised from the dead to do just that. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That is from Joel 2:32, repeated in Acts 2:21, and again in Romans 10:13. Call on his name today. Trust in him today. I would be a servant to you like Peter and John were to this man. And if I can help you in any of these things today, I'm here for you. Let's talk. Don't leave before those questions are answered or before you have taken that step. Some of you, I just want to encourage you, take a deep breath and stop trying to fix your neighbor or your kids or your husband or your wife because you can't. But Jesus can, and he loves them. And you pray and you wait and you love. See, this guy, if you'd have told his parents, "Hey, I know your son can't walk, Jesus is going to heal him." Okay, I don't know who Jesus is, because they wouldn't have. Year goes by, years go by, years go by. It ain't going to happen. And one day, the same old routine goes on. Friends carry him. He goes back to his work of asking for alms, and two guys. Follow me now. I'm not ending, so don't check out on me. Two guys who a long time ago were going to be fishermen. Right? Some guy walks up to him on a beach and says, "Follow me." Okay. So their lives get kind of tilted and rocked upside down. They have no idea who this guy is. And one day, they're now, I shared with a church over in Illinois last week, they're now leading a mega church in an inner city, multi-congregational, because there's houses all over, with multiple leaders, multiple languages. I mean, these guys just aren't like chilling all day. Like, "Oh, what do you want to do?" I mean, there's a lot going on here. And they're walking, they're devoted to go worship. Read my emails every week, by the way. And they were going to worship, and then they see this guy. That guy's parents, or the people hoping that he might walk one day, would have never known that that was going to happen. But this is the moment that God used to heal him. You might be praying for a family member or a friend to find salvation in Jesus. Don't give up. You keep praying and you keep trusting. Could be you. Could be me walking down the street. I know your family's not laying there asking for money. It could be this as easy as, "Do you want fries with that?" And that conversation starts. It could be, "Welcome to so-and-so. How may I help you?" And you start a conversation. The person you're talking to maybe been prayed for by somebody for years and years and years. And you in that moment, with the same power that Peter and John had, have an opportunity to be that person for somebody who has been praying all those years. That's incredible. But this is the work of God. Christ Church, this is the mission we're on. And I pray that we'd see that, rest in it, and move forward in it. Amen? Let's pray.